It's 3 days to the Join East National Dialogue on Defending Media Freedom ahead of the December polls. Hello, good afternoon. This is the Midday News. The news is live on Joy 99.7 FM here in Accra and Kumasi. We are on Love 99.5 FM. We are on myjoyonline.com, live in all 16 regions. Amenuveve FM in Afla. We are on Bishara Radio in Tamale, Ganga FM in Jirapa, Radio Y in Wa. We are on X Spaces. We are on Facebook. The Midday News is supported by Petrostore Platinum Energy, energizing dreams. This afternoon, experts are expressing skepticism over the NPP and NDC's commitment to fighting corruption, citing a lack of political will within the two major parties to address the issue effectively.
Recent tricycles, illegal and inflated single source contracts, bus scandals, and many others.
We have details as NDC flag bearer John Mahama announces Operation Retrieve All Loot to hold former government officials in the Akufo-Addo-led administration accountable if elected. Also, the Ghana Extractive Industry Transparency Initiative calls for a parliamentary probe into the government's gold for oil policy, citing transparency concerns following Vice President Dr. Baumia's revelation of a $3.1 billion gold deal with an unidentified businessman.
I could see this country moving towards Sri Lanka. And it was in that context that I came up with two policies. One was the gold for oil policy and the gold purchase program.
We have details of the initiative's question about the integrity of intermediary characters working on the gold for oil transactions.
We wanted the government on its own to make these disclosures. But since the government has failed or refused to make these disclosures, I think a parliamentary probe will be in order.
And for arriving 30 minutes after the start of the examination, seven candidates sitting for this year's WASI missed the social studies paper at the Laboni Senior Secondary School.
They have no good reason. They are candidates.
Are they writing?
They are supposed to.
So
the law says you have to be seated 30 minutes before time. We've started 20 minutes ago. They have no excuse. They were just hovering around.
Because I have been with them. I know them. These are the perpetual latecomers. And it has become their attitude.
But why were they late?
I'm from far place, I'm from Dodoma, and then there's traffic on the ways. It's not deliberated, I don't want to come late.
We have details of that, and also in sports.
Unfortunately, former England and Ivory Coast manager Sven-Göran Eriksson has passed away.
Oh dear. And later also, more than 100,000 persons being investigated for attempted multiple registration, as the NIA says it has enrolled more than 18 million Ghanaians onto the Ghana card.
We have a total of 110,936 as the number of Ghanaians who have attempted multiple registration and therefore whose cards have gone into delinquency and are being investigated.
Details of that and more here on the Midday News. I am Emefa Apau, and this is your home of independent, fearless, and credible journalism. Please do stay on for details. Many thanks for choosing us this afternoon. There are doubts about the ability of the two major political parties, NDC and NPP, to effectively deal with corruption. As some governance analysts say, both parties lack the political will needed to win the fight. They have said that although the parties have great plans on paper, the fight goes beyond that. We'll get to hear from some anti-corruption, crusaders shortly. But first, NDC flag bearer John Dramani Mahama at the launch of the party's manifesto in Winneba announced plans to hold corrupt government officials in the Akufo-Addo-led administration accountable through what he calls the Operation Retrieve All Loot. That's the oral. The party says it will, among other things, investigate the 13 All-African Games, the National Cathedral, and many others. Maxwell Agbagba was there for us. Here's his report.
It was a day of speeches, policies, and plans for the future that will be implemented if the NDC is elected. The NDC flag bearer John Mahama criticized the President Akufo-Addo-led government, describing it as a failure.
This NPP administration has been the biggest political scam that has been pulled on Ghanaians since our independence in 1957.
Key among the promises in the NDC manifesto is the implementation of the 24-hour economy to create jobs. the establishment of a women's development bank, the implementation of the Big Push, which the NDC flag bearer John Mahama says will invest $10 billion to drive growth and lift the size of the economy if he wins.
John Mahama, waya, 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 waya.
The NDC flag bearer John Mahama vowed to hit the ground running in his first 120 days in office. He says he will initiate Operation Recover All Loot.
We'll institute inquiries or forensic audits into the following matters of public interest. One, MPP's collapse of indigenous Ghanaian banks and financial institutions at a supposed cost of 25 billion Ghana cedis. We'll institute an audit into the illegal printing of money by the Bank of Ghana to finance the corrupt Akufo-Addo Bayomiya administration. We'll investigate the 58 million National Cathedral scandal. We'll investigate the COVID-19 expenditure scandal. We'll investigate corruption scandals including the PDS, Ejapa, SML, Ambulance Fairfax, 13th African, All African Games, Sky Train, Palugu Dam, Mass Sets, Galamsey Fraud, Missing Excavators, Missing Tricycles, Illegal and Inflated Single Source Contracts, Bus Scandals, and many others.
Among other promises, he said he will implement within the first 120 days is scrapping the e-levy, COVID-19 levy, and a 10% tax on bet winnings within his first 90 days in office. The 24-hour economy policy remains one of the flagship programs of the NDC. The party went a step further at the manifesto launch by releasing a song to drive the initiative. NDC flag bearer John Mahama says he will start drafting needed legal amendments and prepare for implementing the 24-hour economic policy under the office of the president in his first 120 days in office.
This is the 24-hour economic clock. One job, three shifts, three people.
That's Maxo Agbagba's report. Now, flag bearer of the NPP, Dr. Mahmood Bawumia, says digitalization will be central in his fight against corruption if elected, citing the significant impact of the Ghana card on the public sector payroll. Well, he says it has helped with the detection and elimination of ghost names, resulting in substantial savings for the country.
Impact of the Ghana card on the public sector payroll. It gives me a lot of confidence that we are on the right path to deal with corruption ex ante. The Ghana card provides unique identity backed by fingerprints for every adult Ghanaian so far. We've issued 18 million Ghana cards. And so when we look at SNIT, for example, when they went through their pensioner payroll and trying to make sure that everybody had a unique identity on the payroll, they found out 29,000 ghost pensions just because of the card. And that saved SNIT almost 400 million Ghana cedis from the 29,000.
Vice President Dr. Mahmood Bawumia at his media encounter last night, while political science lecturer at the University of Ghana, Dr. Kwame Asasanti, and director of the Democracy Project, Dr. John Osei-Kwapong, are expressing doubts about the ability of the two major political parties to effectively eliminate corruption.
And if you look at all the parties from the beginning of this republic, they fail, especially dealing with their own. It becomes a problem. And for me, that is where you can have the best advisory council. You can have the best laws, but if you don't have political will to deal with corruption head on, I'm afraid. So, yes, they have come out with all manner of nice ideas to deal with corruption. But I think that they have not convinced me beyond reasonable doubt for me to believe that they are ready to fight corruption. What I want to hear from them is that we will master the courage and deal with corruption by what? Setting examples from within. If any of our people, our own, crosses the line, we are ready to do ABC.
Regime accountability right? If you look at the history of the Fourth Republic, it's easier for, you know, a party in government to try and hold those that they just unseated accountable for their acts whilst they were in government, right? The issue is always what happens to your own appointees when you are in power, when they are found to have allegedly been engaged in acts of corruption.
Well, we've also been hearing from anti-corruption campaigner Edem Senanu, who says state institutions should not wait for new governments before prosecuting corruption in past administrations, urging anti-graft agencies to be proactive so that the impression of witch hunting is not always created. But both the NDC and NPP have made promises to scrap some taxes and initiate additional social intervention programs. Well, there are questions about whether they will get the necessary revenue or where it will come from to deliver on these promises, especially considering Ghana's financial situation. NDC flag bearer John Mahama says he will cut out waste and realign the budget to fund the promises.
A lot of people ask me, you're going to find an economy in a mess. How are you going to handle all this? We're going to realign our expenditure. We're going to cut out waste. We'll realign the budget so that we can create more fiscal space in order to finance these projects. We're going to use innovative methods to raise the resources so that we can finance this progress.
Well, so the key concern remains about the feasibility of some of these promises and why some of these taxes cannot be scrapped now, but we have to wait until the next government comes. And really, is it possible or is it doable? Let's bring in lecturer at Andrews University, Associate Professor of Finance, Williams Kwesi-Pepra, joining us via Zoom. We're indeed grateful for your time. So you've been monitoring both the NPP and NDC, at least. Both manifestos are out. They promised to scrap some taxes and initiate more social intervention programs. Knowing what you know and what you've seen in terms of our economic situation as we speak, is it feasible?
Good afternoon, Erefa, and good afternoon to your listeners. From what I have gathered, based on just looking at the internal audit agency report, this is something that both parties can do. So from 2017 to date, infractions detected by the internal agency through their audit report in areas of procurement irregularities, overpayment, unapproved transactions, and payment for contracts not done, it comes to approximately 51 billion Ghana cedis. So far, for the e-levy, government has collected 810 million Ghana cedis. For the betting tax, government has collected roughly 15 million Ghana cedis. So if you look at the amounts involved, they are not very significant. Indeed, from the budget estimation, the EAV government projected 1.2 billion Ghana cedis. And then for the betting tax, around 1.2 billion Ghana cedis. So if both parties are able to focus on eliminating waste, as specifically the NDC presidential candidate is saying, and then reducing and prioritizing some payments, it is very easy for them to do away with these two taxes. Specifically, if you look at some payments that have been done through, you know, the former minister called it contingency vote payments for some projects, they are something that's something that we could have done away with. The NDC presidential candidate talked about prioritization of payments. You see, this is very key. We know how the current government prioritized some payments, and I'm sure what comes to my mind are some payments on the cathedral project, which later government brought it into parliament, almost $54 million spent. So if you look at these amounts that we are talking about, it's something that we can plan very well and then do away with these taxes and then make sure that we reduce the irregularities and then also focus to reduce the expenditure line items. The NPP's agenda of using digitization to rake in revenue is also very important and something that has been tried and tested and can work. So both parties, if they're able to implement what they are saying when they come into power, indeed, be able to do away with these taxes and then still work within the IMF program.
Okay. Well, Professor Williams Kwesi Prepare, we are grateful for your time here on the Midday News. He's a lecturer at the Andrews University. Now, the Ghana Extractive Industry Transparency Initiative is demanding a parliamentary inquiry into government's gold for oil policy, citing opacity and lack of accountability of the project. Vice President Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia last night gave fresh details about how he convinced an unidentified businessman to purchase gold worth 3.1 billion Ghana cedis from the vote of the Bank of Ghana. According to the Vice President, Ghana's economy was almost collapsing, similar to the worst case scenario of Sri Lanka, a reason for which he called the governor of the central bank to commence the purchase of gold overnight.
This economy was on the verge of collapse. The exchange rate was blowing up, inflation was up, and my worry at that time, frankly, was that I could see this country moving towards Sri Lanka. And it was in that context that I came up with two policies. One was the gold for oil policy and the gold purchase program of the Bank of Ghana. Because in the last couple of years, Bank of Ghana under the gold purchase program has been able to buy $5 billion of gold. Think about it. We've gone to the IMF to look for $3 billion. Where would you have gotten $5 billion? And this is why, by the grace of God, when I am president next year, we are going to institutionalize this. One big company had 3.1 billion Ghana cedis. They wanted to externalize 3.1 billion Ghana cedis. And they were looking for foreign exchange. Can you imagine the impact on our market? So their chairman flew into the country and came to see me. So I listened to them, and then I asked, will you take gold? They said, oh, sure, gold is forex. That is not a problem. So I called the governor and said, look, why don't we put this 3.1 billion through the gold purchase program? And guess what? It was done virtually overnight, and their money was given to them.
Vice President Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia, well, the Ghana Extractive Industry Transparency Initiative says government is yet to make more disclosure on the gold for oil policy, adding that intermediaries working on the transaction remain shadowy. We can hear from Dr. Steve Mantel.
The first point I need to make is the fact that the whole gold for oil program has been shrouded in secrecy in ways that does not build public trust. The vice president, now the presidential candidate for the MPP, can provide further details on these issues. It will help to build public trust, and perhaps we'll be able to confirm the assertions that he's making. I mean, we need to understand not just only the benefit side, we need to also understand the cost dimensions. We actually undertaking this program at a certain cost, which we do not know. So I would not be satisfied if somebody told me this has been the benefit. What has been the transactional cost?
Well, there have been explanations from the spokesperson for the vice president's campaign team, Dennis Miracle Abuaje. It tells Joy News CSOs could choose to file an RTI request if they feel there are more questions.
This was a strategy that was introduced midstream in the middle of a crisis. Surely there may be areas that we need to really tighten to really formalize it and institutionalize
it. He's more concerned about transparency.
But I think
he says the deal is shrouded in secrecy.
I think he's overstretching it. And I like the fact that he rightly stated the cap he's wearing now. Because at this point, I think he's also mixing the caps. And I follow him on social media, I watch his comments. I don't think it's entirely objective on some of the issues that he raises. Because, I mean, we're in the space of RTI. You have a committee, right? Demand for it. There's law. If, for example, if for anything at all, it is true that you don't have access to this information, request for it, you will get it. The BOG and BOST actually produces weekly reports.
That's Dennis Miracles Abuaje, speaks for the Vice President's campaign team. Now, the West Africa Examination Council has this afternoon reiterated a strong resolution to enforce all rules governing this year's WASI to the fullest. At the Osu Presbyterian Senior High School, it took the intervention of WAEC officials for over 17 candidates who arrived late at the center to take the social studies paper. Vincent Eswa is the headmaster and the center coordinator.
They have no good reason. They are candidates.
Are they writing?
They are supposed to.
The law says you have to be seated 30 minutes before time. We've started 20 minutes ago. They have no excuse. They were just hovering around.
So far, so good. Today is the first court paper. And so we experienced a bit of a delay because some of the invigilators were either not there or came very late. But we have been able to settle and the paper has taken off smoothly.
Well, let's touch base with my colleague Prince Kwame Kuduga. He's with the WAEC team, joins us on the line. Prince, we understand some candidates also at the Laboni SHS were also not allowed to sit for the social studies paper. What exactly was the reasons that were given? But indeed, Prince will join us, but he's been speaking to some of the students. Prince, tell us more.
So, MFA, at the Laboni Senior High School, at the time we got here, it was 1 hour to the first paper, which is social studies paper two. We saw some several students outside the exam hall, they were not writing. When I inquired, I understand that they reported also late to the exam hall. That's why they were denied access. I spoke to them. Some told me that they came all the way far away from Dodowa and that traffic situation is responsible for their inability to arrive on time. We can listen to them.
You are the, I came late, that's right. But like, I'm from far place, I'm from Dodowa, and then there's traffic on the ways. It's not deliberate that I don't want to come late. I know I have exams to come late. But there's traffic on the way. I can't do anything about it.
But you know you're right, that you could have come, set up in, probably come and spend the night around or something.
No, my parents won't allow me to come and spend the night around. I'm a district, so I have to just sit in the house and come really late. I can't, it's not like I want to come late. I woke up early, over 6, but because of the traffic, I can't beat the traffic. And it's really far from here. Then we went over there. So when we went there, there's traffic on the way. So that's what caused me to come.
Right now, your colleagues are writing right here. How does it
mean? I'm not happy, but I'm trying to beg the.
Prince, please tell me they were later allowed to join the exam.
MFA, unfortunately, they were not allowed. They were not allowed in to take the paper. They have to resort to NOVDEC or any other means to get their social studies paper 1 written.
Well, that's my colleague Prince Kwame Kuduga there. Rather heartbreaking. Now, the National Identification Authority says up to 110,000 Ghanaians are currently being investigated for allegedly attempting to register multiple times onto the Ghana Card Register, appearing before the Assurances Committee of Parliament. Executive Secretary of the NIA, Professor Kenneth Atefwa, also revealed there are currently nearly 18.2 million Ghanaians who have been enrolled.
The total number of cards printed is indicated as 17.82 million, and the total issued is 17,323,416. The total number of cards not issued to Ghanaians as at the date of compilation of this report, which was the 20th of August 2024, is 559,457. And cards that have been cleared and are ready to be printed stands at 151,896.
And that's Professor Kenneth Atefwa, then my colleague, Parliamentary Affairs Correspondent Kwaku Asante, is sitting through the Parliament Assurances Committee sitting and joins us on the line. We understand that the VRA is now before them on the Akonsombo Dam spillage. What exactly is happening?
Well, yes, MFA, that's a separate investigation being conducted by the ad hoc committee that was set up by the speaker. Just gone by the Ministry for Works and Housing have been presenting some data to the committee, that special committee sitting right now at the DF Annan Auditorium. And according to the chief director of the ministry, the government will need about 600 million Ghana cedis to be able to properly build new settlement for the persons that were displaced by the spillage of the dam last year. And up to now, government have only released about 200 million Ghana cedis, and so they are expecting that 400 million to come in. They also say that they are not differentiating between houses that were legally built or illegally built, and the expectation is that the government releases all 600 million to them, they will rebuild all these houses for all these families and all these persons that were affected by the disaster.
That's Parliamentary Affairs Correspondent Kwekwa Santé there giving us updates, taking us on a quick break here on the Midday News live on Joy 99.7 FM here in Accra. In Kumasi, we're on Love 99.5 FM. Also, myjoyonline.com. We're on X Spaces. We're on Facebook. The Midday News is made possible by Petrosol Platinum Energy, energizing dreams. We return from the break with sport. We are 3 days away from the Joy News National Dialogue on Defending Media Freedom. We'll get to hear from the flag bearer of the NPP about his commitment to defending the freedom and rights of the media in Ghana. I also have floods of trauma where residents are forced to protect themselves by any means from flooding as government delays on Garrett projects.
If you are in a struggle, by all means, you have to find your out. With me myself,
how many people can this space take?
It can take as much as 10 persons.
Budgets are tight and money difficult to come by. You want to be sure you get the best value for your money. These are not times to be spending money fixing expensive engine problems because of cheap fuel and lubricant. Drive to a Petrosol station today and buy your quality fuel and lubricant and rest assured of fuel that lasts long and lubricants that prevent expensive engine problems. Hear the sound. Petrosol, clean fuel in full quantity.
The luckiest
*712#
luck is everywhere for everyone. Yeah, the luckiest
*712#
luck is everywhere for everyone. Yeah,
doctors,
nurses,
barbers,
drivers,
bouncers,
friends,
teachers,
bankers. The luckiest
*712#
luck is everywhere for everyone. Yeah, the luckiest
*712#
luck is everywhere for everyone. Yeah,
doctors,
nurses,
barbers,
drivers,
bouncers,
friends,
teachers,
bankers.
*712#
you could be the luckiest.
Thanks for staying with us here on the Midday News. Definitely, you are the luckiest. Victor, what do we have in sports?
Unfortunately, former England and Ivory Coast manager Sven-Goran Eriksson has passed away at the age of 76. During his days as a manager, he coached clubs like Benfica, AS Roma, Fiorentina, Sampdoria. We can hear from him while he was alive last week, giving perhaps a foretaste of what was to come.
I have no pain, but I know it's there. One day, it will take you. Before that day, live instead of sitting down thinking about what and when will it happen. We'll see. If I have some extra time, over time, I always been very bad to plan the future. I take it as it comes.
Well, a week later, it has taken him. May his soul rest in peace.
Perfect peace. Thank you very much, Victor. Now it's time for Floods of Trauma, and we're focusing on the Greater Accra Resilient and Integrated Project. It has been hailed as the country's salvation from flooding, and it remains largely unfulfilled due to severe financial constraints. As the Works and Housing Ministry struggles to complete these projects, some residents in flood-prone areas like Adabraka, Sahara, are taking matters into their own hands to protect their families. Mamisi Nyamiche Thompson has more in our Floods of Trauma series.
The June 3 flood disaster claimed over 150 lives, leaving behind deep scars that time has yet to heal. Today, when dark clouds gather and the first drops of rain begin to fall, the people of Odona, Sahara are gripped by fear. They remember all too well the devastation that followed the rains 9 years ago.
So I was in the school when the blast, you know, the blast was close to where I was at the time.
65-year-old Theophilus Teiko, a retired teacher, narrowly escaped death that night.
When I came home in the morning from the school compound, the level to enter the house was on my chest.
It was a tragedy that exposed the vulnerabilities of our infrastructure. The Works and Housing Minister, Kojo Oponkrumah, confirmed receiving $150 million for Garrett, but work on various projects will take time to complete.
Last year, I think 98 million CDs, that was 2023, the flood control program had about 98 million CDs that was made available to add up to a bit of the drainage works across the country. And in our industry, 98 million cities can do so much. I mean, it can do very, very little. We need to mobilize some more resources to be able to tackle the situation head on.